Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
We have Mike with us, our 9 News Broncos insider. And again, Mike comes to us weekly, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. What do you know, Mike, at this hour about Cortland Sutton's status for tonight?
I'm going to be surprised if he plays.
Yeah, looks
that
way.
It is what I've been told. I don't know that for sure. You know, he was out there. I think from what I'm hearing, guys, Cortland's willing to do what it takes to play. But I think the Broncos, you know, the team, the decision makers may decide to hold him out. It was a pretty good injury there. And I know Mike Williams played last night yesterday with a sprained AC joint, but he suffered it about 2.5-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Cortland's just a couple days away. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, do you want him at 60% the rest of the year? Would, you know, or do you want him more like 85%, 90%, you know, after this week? And, I'm trying to read what Fangio meant by the 10 jumping jacks. I assume through pain you could do 10 jumping jacks, no matter how you feel, but maybe not. I don't know. If he can't do 10 jumping jacks, then he better not play.
No. Mike, what could you tell us about the injury to Graham Glasgow? Because originally I thought that this was like a low ankle situation, but he missed some extensive time in training camp. And I know last week there was a couple days that he was limited. So how is his health coming along? And was it, in fact, probably a high ankle, more of a high ankle issue, because we know that those linger throughout the whole season?
Right now, I don't think it was a high ankle sprain. It's one of those things where sometimes they don't tell you about those high ankle sprains till after the season. You know, Dalton Risner kind of went through that last year. But he was stepped on. He wasn't rolled up. He was stepped on. And, you know, he took a week off. And he was, you know, pretty much full go. I know they listed him on limited a couple practices. But, you know, maybe he took a series off. But otherwise, I think he was out there. I'm anticipating he'll play, every snap tonight.
Drew Lock's preseason seemed to have its fair share of ups and downs. In your mind, assuming that he has to play without Sutton tonight, factoring everything in, what kind of performance are we to expect, being fair about it, from Drew Lock in his first regular season opening day or opening night start?
I think you should expect him to play well. I mean, it's the NFL. Who cares? inexperience, guys out, you know, he's number one receivers out. There are number one receivers out all around the league yesterday. And I know Mike Evans fought through it, but, you know, it's the NFL. It's Monday night, and let's go. You know, Locke's, it was ups and downs on Locke in the training camp. What happened was he played really well for 10 days. You know, he had like 10 really good practices in a row. Then he had a week or so where he lost it. He lost his mojo. And I don't know if he lost confidence or he was pressing. But he didn't play well for about 7 practices in a row. And then he looked really good in that scrimmage, the second scrimmage, not the first one, obviously, the second one. I mean, it wasn't on TV for everyone to see, but, I mean, he made it look easy. Against the number one defense, they scored their first two drives. And in fact, I asked Fangio if the defense was trying, because every play was a positive play, whether it was a 5-yard run, whether it was a 3rd-and-3 completion for 4 yards. It was methodical. It was efficient. And he said something clicked. There was a moment the Wednesday before. So that was a Friday that the scrimmage was, roughly September 4th. On September 2nd, he said something clicked. And now here it is, September 14th. We did not see the team periods last week, so can't give you any updates on how you did. But the long and the short of it is, guys, he's capable. And, Fant's a good receiver. They paid $9 million to Melvin Gordon. Use him without Sutton. You got a first-round draft pick in Judy. Use him. You feel a little better for Locke if Hamler were out there to kind of stretch the defense. It sounds like Hamler's not going to play. But there's still a lot of weapons out there, and maybe he uses the tight end and running back more without Cortland Sutton. But they've got good tight ends and they got good running backs.
Yeah, couldn't you?
So he should do. Yeah, he should do well.
Couldn't you, in theory, now put Albert O and Noah Fant out there at the same time and go too tight, with these bigger athletic tight ends and be able to stretch the field with some of these guys that are running 4.4s and 4.5s at their positions?
Yeah, I think Albert O, if he's used tonight, and it sounds like he's got a chance. I don't think you can dress four tight ends. Maybe you can. If you would dress four tight ends, Albert O would be used in the red zone. I mean, he's been phenomenal in the red zone during training camp, guys. He is a real weapon. And Locke hooks to him.
Yep.
And, they go back to Missouri.
Sure.
They got a college connection there. And it continued in training camp. So if Albert O does dress, it'll be for red zone. We'll have to see.
From what you have seen so far, and I know it's a very small sample size, but it's a weird year. And even Michaels and Collinsworth were talking about being in SoFi Stadium as it opened up yesterday. And it's a beautiful facility. Not adorned, of course, by any fans in attendance. I know there have been fans at some games, but not very many of them. And my question to you is, what kind of sense do you have as to how meaningful home field advantage will be from what we've seen so far?
I would say that Denver, like I say, since I moved to Colorado, 35 years ago, as long as the game's played at 5,280 feet, they should have the best home field advantage in sports, in all sports. And I actually think the Broncos are terrific early. Shanahan was 5-0, 4-1 every year. Even Vance Joseph, with the tough years he had.
Got off to good starts, yeah.
Yeah, he got off to good starts. I think altitude against Tennessee, I think Tennessee's the better team, but I still think the Broncos have a chance because of the second half. I think they're going to be better. They're going to be the better conditioned team. What you saw yesterday was what surprised me was their scores. I mean, the offense is executed.
Yes. High scores.
There were points yesterday. Now, a lot of those points came from offenses that have been playing together for years and years. But I think a factor that the one reason why the defense didn't play so well is they're just not conditioned to play four quarters. And you never are in typical seasons in the opener. And I think especially in this one, I think the Broncos have a chance because of altitude in the second half. I think there's a chance Tennessee will be fatigued in the fourth quarter, and the Broncos have a chance to pull it out because of that.
Mike, this morning I woke up, got on Twitter, and I see your piece for 9 News, Bowls to test the new and improved self against Clowney and the Titans. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on that? And how short is, if it is short, how short is this leash with Garrett Bowles? Because isn't that why you bring in a guy like Damar Dotson that has played so much football to be able to move on from one of your offensive linemen or bench him for a week or two if he's not being successful out there?
Yes, but the alternative at left tackle is Elijah Wilkinson. And, you know, I've been saying that Bowles outplayed Wilkinson last year by quite a bit. The penalties, you know, and Bowles' exasperated look after the holding penalties, I think makes him a lightning rod for the fan scorn and you know, sports talk radio scorn, and everybody just shakes their head. Meanwhile, Wilkinson gave up more sacks on the right side last year. So, yeah, I suppose the leash is not in game. Maybe after a game they might make a move. Just, you know, Elijah's got to play well too on the right side in order for him to get shifted over to the left, because Dotson is not a left tackle. He cannot play left tackle. He would play right, and it would be Elijah that would swing over to left in your scenario there, Big O. And you we'll see what that story was about. You know, we've been talking all along about how, you know, Bowles is focused, refocused, and he put on some muscle and some weight, and is mentally he's never been better. He's got the same offensive line coach, the same left guard. Everybody's anticipating a better year for Bowles. And, okay, so let's see it. It's Jadeveon Clowney, who I mostly see line up at right end, you know, or right outside linebacker, and it's the left tackle's job. So I think Bowles is going to get plenty of Clowney, and we'll see how he holds up tonight. I think it's a good first test for him. There's never an easy test. I mean, he could go up and down that lineup. You got T.J. Watt and Dupree next week. You got in week three, Shaq Barrett, I'm sure, is going to line up over Bowles a time or two. It's just relentless when you're a left tackle. So he might as well start with a stud right off the bat.
Well, he will be challenged, and that could be the key matchup in the game. Mike, it sounds like you might be leaning a little toward the Broncos tonight, even without Sutton and Miller.
Yeah, a lean is the right way. First of all, I have no idea.
Well, we don't either, so we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, if they don't have Sutton and they won't have Miller, it's still up to Drew Lock, guys. If they had Sutton and they had Von Miller, it would still be up to Drew Lock. So we'll see how the kid comes out there firing.
Mike, when you look at this Tennessee Titans offense, everything is surrounded by Derrick Henry and getting him going, because if you get him going, that's when the play action, that's when you're able to take your shots down the field.
Henry, it's Derrick Henry and impact passing.
Yeah. So,
you know,
how
did the Broncos? Kind of an Air Force, it's kind of an Air Force offense.
Yeah. So how did the Broncos take away either the impact passing or Derrick Henry? Because we know Derrick Henry's coming in here with a chip on his shoulder with what the Broncos were able to do last year and bottle him up for about 40 yards. But how do you take away one or the other, especially now missing a guy like Von Miller?
Yeah, Von Miller and I think Mark Barron, they had plans for him too. That I think that hurts. Be interesting to see who their sub packages, whether they go the extra safety, which would be Trey Marshall, that might be, or the extra linebacker, which I assume would be Colitro, and he's just getting here. Doesn't look like Colitro's quite up to speed with the defense. So I would think there's a lot of Trey Marshall. But what Fangio does is he can still load up the box while keeping two safeties very deep. And, you know, let those safeties move into the play. Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson, Jackson especially, is terrific at moving up.
Yeah,
into the box as a run defender. He's better at moving up into the run than Simmons is. Simmons is a better center fielder. He can lay the wood too, but he reads the quarterbacks a little better back there. That's why he gets all the picks. But Jackson is terrific about moving in. This game is big for the safeties. When you got to move up to help out on the run and Derrick Henry, you got to stay back. You saw it in the playoffs with Khalif Raymond last year getting open. They got A.J. Brown averages over 20 yards a catch last year. That's phenomenal. The safeties are the most important players in a game like this.
Very well said, Mike. Our thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike.
We appreciate it as always.
All right, guys. Can't wait to see. Right now, all we know is what we think we see.
Yes, and, what we think we see.
Yeah. After tonight, we'll have a little bit more. No.
Absolutely.
So, all right.
Mike, real quick, the Broncos win tonight?
No, he said he's leaning. He's leaning that way. Yeah. He's leaning. I'd rather give him his lean.
Here's why I don't like to say. You know, you give all this analysis and you can sound smart. If you make the wrong pick, you're an idiot.
And nobody remembers anything else you said.
Yeah, it negates everything.
Nobody remembers all you dissect. They just want to know whether your prediction is right.
That's
not how it works.
No, it's real dart throwing this weekend. It really is. You can be right on games for 90% of the time, and then it turns at the end. Look at the Bears. Look at Washington in the second half. Yeah. Arizona coming back from a 10-0 deficit. We were talking about that earlier.
Crazy
week one. Week ones are always crazy, but the Broncos have, you're right, historically been a very good week one team. 11-5 in night games to open a season going back to 78. Mike, our thanks. Good job.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.